right. You know, everybody has a container, and we constantly find a desire to fill the container of our life with more stuff, seeking to be satisfied and to find that sense of contentment that we so much desire to have. And so in the container, we oftentimes will put things in to our container like work. You know, if I could just work more, if I could just get this promotion, if I could just make this sale, if I could just reach this goal, if I could just reach this level. And we put that into our life, and then we learned that maybe that didn't satisfy us quite as much as what we thought. And so we turn to other things. And we say, man, if I could just have more entertainment, more relaxation, more fun, more enjoyment, you know, that would fill my container. And that would fill me up. And that doesn't happen. And we looked at things like fashion. And these could almost fill your life up, okay? If you had a pair of these. But still falls a little bit short. And then we look to other things like family and even education. If I could just get another degree, if I could just get this certification, if I could just achieve this academic goal. And the list goes on and on and on, even including physical fitness and working out. If I could just have this type of body, if I could just be this dress size, if I could just have this kind of physique, then it would fill my life up and I would feel that sense of contentment that I'm so much looking for. Well, the Bible has some powerful things to say to us this morning about the secret of contentment, because the secret of contentment is oftentimes not exactly what we are looking for or what we think it's all about. In fact, God's Word has some very powerful things to say to us today about filling the containers of our lives, but the things that we got to put into our lives are different from the things that we often think of when it comes to living a life of purpose and joy and happiness. And we've been in this series over the last few weeks called The Joy Ride. We've been talking about living a life of abundant, Christ-honoring joy. And today we want to continue that series and that journey as we talk about contentment, because the word content is a word that actually, in the language of the New Testament, is a word that means to be contained. And so to be content is to live a contained life. It means that our appetites and desires are not haywire. They're not crazy. We learn to be satisfied with what we have, not always longing for what we don't have. You know, people go through their whole lives seeking contentment. That's why people go from marriage to marriage to marriage. People go from job to job to job. People go from car to car to car. People go from even church to church to church because we're just not satisfied and things are not just good enough. There's so many symptoms of dissatisfaction and symptoms of discontent. Things like the things are not good enough syndrome, where we're always critiquing and evaluating things and we're comparing ourselves to others. Or sometimes we think, if I could just have this one more thing, if I could just get my hands on just this one more achievement, this one more thing that I could put into my container, then life would be awesome. You know, the Apostle Paul challenges us here today that contentment is not about circumstances. It's actually a lot bigger than that. It rises above our emotions, our circumstances, and so many other physical things here on earth. And he talks about the secret of contentment. Sheryl Crow has a great line in one of her songs. She said, speaking of contentment, it's not having what you want, but it's wanting what you've got. And I love that. That's what God's desire is for your life today, is for you to not be wanting or feeling this void, like, I've got to have this, I've got to have that. But where we can just look at our container and say, man, God has blessed me. I can be content. I can be satisfied with the container that God has given me. Unfortunately, we oftentimes look to the container and we say, you know what? I'm not satisfied with the first container. I need a second container. And if I could just have more containers, then I would be satisfied. And so we add containers to our lives. And when then that doesn't satisfy, then we say, you know what? The issue is not more containers, it's bigger containers. And if I just had those big containers and my life was filled with all of the mega grande, you know, type of boxes and containers, then that would be better. And then that doesn't satisfy. We look around and we say, you know what? I want her container. I want his container. And when that doesn't satisfy, we realize that we're overwhelmed with everything else and we wish life was just simple and we wish we could go back to the container that we had in the first place. Just make life simple. Paul speaks to this in Philippians 4:10. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. If we're going to stay on the joy ride, we've got to learn this secret of being content, as the apostle refers to it. And it begins by learning to be content. You know, contentment is a learned behavior. It's not natural. The natural person is the person that's always wanting more containers. It's always wanting more stuff. To learn to be content is a discipline. It takes maturity and growth. Paul said, I have learned to be content, not that I have always been content or that being content is just natural, but I have learned to be content. And I love that because it really is a process we have to go through to really experience the contentment. But oftentimes, that's not what we have. In fact, Money Magazine came out with an article a few years ago, and here's what the article said. It said that in the last 21 years, the median family's net worth has doubled. So families are making a lot more money. The same article said that we now spend 25% more than what we did 32 years ago. So we spend 25% more than we did families, the average family, the average median family 25 years ago. So we have more money and we spend more. And then also it says the average family lives in a bigger home. In fact, homes today are one-third bigger than they were 33 years ago. So we have bigger homes, we have more money, we spend more money, but also the Self-Storage Association came out with an article a few weeks ago that said that not only do we spend more money and have more money and live in bigger houses, but we also are renting extra storage space at unprecedented levels. In fact, that industry has gone up by 75% in the last 15 years because people have so much stuff, they don't know what to do with it. So we've got more money, we've got bigger houses, and actually smaller families, so we have a lot more space. And we spend more money, and we have to get storage space to keep all the junk that we can't keep in our big houses, and yet we're still not satisfied. We're still not content. It's because contentment is a learned behavior. It's something that God has to begin to do in us. Paul said in verse 11, "For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances." Now, Paul had a lot of great experiences, the writer of this passage. He was a tremendous leader. He was a preacher. He was a missionary. He was a man of God. He was highly educated. He was very accomplished. And yet Paul lived through some great days in his life, some very victorious days, but there were also some really hard days in Paul's life. In fact, we've talked in the previous weeks that the letter to the Philippian church that we've been studying was written from a Roman prison cell. So Paul's in prison writing about joy. He's in prison writing about being content. And you'd have to really know how to understand contentment to be content and to be in prison, right? But Paul said, I have learned to be content, and it's not about my circumstances because it is learned behavior. Now, let's talk a little bit about what contentment is not. When we talk about contentment, it doesn't mean that we enjoy every single thing going on in our lives. You know, some of us are going through great adversity, great pain, great disappointment. Man, to be content doesn't mean that you don't acknowledge that those are difficult situations. It doesn't mean that you enjoy going through difficulties. It certainly doesn't mean that. Being content does not mean that you're lazy. It doesn't mean that if you could make an A, you make a C. It doesn't mean that you're just kicking back in your lazy boy and just relaxing and reclining and just whatever kind of happens, happens. That's not what being content is about. In fact, being content means that we're being satisfied with what God is doing in our lives now and what we have, but we're also pressing forward to the future. In fact, Paul said in chapter 3, I am pressing on. In other words, there's still things that God wants to do in my life. And it's important that we understand the relationship between these two things, because contentment is not laziness, and it is certainly not apathy. Contentment could be defined as being satisfied with what God has given me while striving to become all that He wants me to be. And I love that, because we're constantly thinking about the future. But here's the rub. Many of us today are goal-oriented people. How many goal-oriented people do we have here? Oh, amen. You guys are my people. I love goals. You know, I've got lots of goals. And you know, if I'm not careful, I can always be looking to accomplish the next goal, and so much so that I don't enjoy where I am today. Maybe you felt that way before. You're so focused on tomorrow. You're so focused on the next thing that it's like where you are today doesn't quite satisfy. I was thinking about my own spiritual journey and what God has done in my life over the last few years. I was reminded of how I graduated from college and began in the ministry. I was single. I started working on my graduate degree. And I would do ministry like till midnight every night. I would go out on the college campuses sharing Christ with people. We had a great college ministry. And I was single. I didn't have kids. I didn't have a wife. You know, I was going to school, but I had tremendous flexibility. And you know what? That was a great season in my life. And I loved that. That was so much fun. I had a great time. And then a little bit after that, I met Gina, and we got married, and we didn't have kids for quite a while after we had been married. And so there was kind of a long time that we were a married couple without kids. And we had some great experiences then, too. I mean, we would just decide to go out of town just like instantly, you know, go on a vacation. We would travel all over the place, having a great time. We had tremendous flexibility with our schedules. We had, you know, two incomes and no kids. And I mean, there was just so many great things about being in that stage of life. And we loved that. It was a lot of fun. It was great. And then not too long ago, we moved in kind of this new stage where we have little preschool kids. I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. And we moved into kind of that parental arena. And you know what? There's some tremendous blessings and experiences with that too. And I kind of miss some of the freedom that I've had before. But you know what? I love where I'm at now. And I love my kids. And I love some of the new experiences and some of the things that God's doing in my life today that He wasn't doing previously. But listen, if we're always looking forward to the next thing, we forget to enjoy the moment of where we are today. And the secret of contentment leads us to ask a probing question. Man, are we satisfied with what God is doing in our lives today? Or does what we have, does it satisfy? Is it containable? Are we satisfied with the container that we have? Or do we feel like we always have to have more, more, more? And God wants us to do that. You know, I love our church, and we're in a great stage. Our church is growing a lot. We've had a great 18-month beginning to our church, and we're having fun. We love doing the elementary school thing, and the startup thing is fun. We pack all the stuff in a trailer every week, and we set it up and take it down, and I mean, we're having a great time doing that. But you know what? I know that that's not all that God has for our church. God has a plan that's much bigger. Our church is going to have greater influence. We're going to lead many, many, many more people to faith in Christ than what we've already led today. And I look forward to that. And it's going to be an exciting journey. But you know, for where we are today, God wants us to enjoy where we are now. And when we get to the next step, then we'll enjoy that step. And then when we get to the step after that as a church, we'll enjoy that. It's all about beginning to look at the container that God has given us and beginning to see it as full rather than as empty. You know, contentment comes from within and not from without. And that's why Paul said, I have learned the secret to being content in every situation. Sometimes we think that contentment is circumstantial. If I could just get this one area of my life to go this way, if she would just do that, if my boss would just do this one thing, if I didn't have to worry about this one scenario, then I would just feel like my container was totally full. And we think so often that contentment comes from circumstances. But Paul said, man, I've learned to be content in all things. I know what it is to have little, to be in this Roman prison cell, and I know what it's like to be the big dog and to be an amazing leader that people respect and reverence. He said, I in the King James Version, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I mean, I know how to be over here in the valley, and I know how to be at the mountain, and I've learned to be content in all circumstances. That's God's desire for all of us, is that we would be content in all things. I have found in my own experience that to be content when I have more is harder than when I have less. And it sounds kind of counterintuitive, and maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I find the more that I have, sometimes the more that I want. And the less that I have, oftentimes the easier it is to be a little more content. Maybe you felt that way too. Because when we have little, we want more, but when we have more, we want more still. Again, not feeling like our container is totally full. Well, you'd think that the money would be a huge part of filling our container. Evelyn Adams won the New Jersey lottery 2 years in a row. Can you believe that? 1985, 1986, this woman won $5.4 million, and she gambled all of it away and is broke today. Isn't that amazing? You would think, man, if anything could make somebody happy, if you think that anybody could have their container full, it would be winning the lot. Most people give their right arm to win the lottery one time, and she won it twice, and yet it didn't satisfy. Her container wasn't full, and she went bankrupt. Billy Bob Harrell won $37 million in the Texas jackpot lottery. That's a lot of money, isn't it? And he went on a mad spending binge that drove his wife crazy, and his wife left him. And then when he had spent all of his money and he was broke, he realized that the thing that he really wanted was not more money and not more stuff, but it was his wife and his family. But his wife had already decided to leave, and he took his own life less than 2 years after he had won all the money. Man, you'd think $37 million could bring contentment. And then there was a guy named Juan Rodriguez. He had just been thrown out by his wife Iris prior to purchasing his New York lottery ticket worth $149 million. Now, you could really get happy if you had $150 million, right? Probably half of that's going to go to taxes, but that's still not bad. And his wife threw him out, but then all of a sudden, she mysteriously wanted to reconcile after he won the lottery. She thought, man, maybe I missed something. So they moved back in for 2 weeks together, enough time for her to claim her stake and half of his winnings, and then she bailed the ship and left. You would think that $150 million could help somebody resolve their marriage, right? You would think that you could get enough counseling, enough vacations, enough time together, enough therapy, right? Enough whatever you need to have a great marriage. And yet, in this couple's experience, that wasn't the case. God says this, that our containment, our contentment is not about circumstances. It's not about the stuff. And listen, we spend so much time and so much energy focused on all of the external things that pass away and in the end of the day don't really matter as much as we think that they do. And yet God has something so much more and so much different from us. Paul was saying, I don't need outside props of wealth or material gain or physical health or clothes or financial security. I have learned to be content in all things. Let me ask you a question. If you lost your savings, if you lost your retirement, if you lost your home, if you lost your health, if you lost your reputation, could you still say, I've learned to be content in all things? It'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? It'd be pretty hard. And yet the contentment that God wants us to experience is not contingent upon the external. It's something that he wants to do in us and through us. Well, how does that happen? It happens through the power of God. See, contentment is a spiritual thing. Contentment is a God thing. Contentment is a relational thing. And that's why in verse 13, the apostle goes on and he says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything. That's the secret of contentment right there. Is realizing that it's the power of Christ to do in us what we cannot do of ourselves. Our container is full when we begin to have this relationship with the Lord Jesus, And that's why Paul said, I could do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, this is right in the context of verse 12, which is all about contentment. So he talks about, I've learned the secret of contentment. And then he kind of tags on verse 13 here, and he says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Listen, if you just read verse 13, but you don't read it in the context of verses 11 and 12, you won't understand what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about you can achieve anything you put your mind to. If you want to become president, you'll be elected to political office. If you want to become an NFL football player tomorrow, then you can do it. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is that we can be content in all things through the power of Christ. It's all about contentment. I love these other translations that kind of illuminate the text a little bit more in verse 13. In fact, the Phillips translation says, I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. Paul says, bring it on. I'm ready. And then the Living Bible has a great perspective too. It says, for I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. Man, listen, there's not one thing that you're facing today that the power and the strength of God is insufficient to help you accomplish that goal. See, that's how we can be content. Because whatever God calls us to, he equips us with the power that we need to accomplish the task. If God calls you to it, he'll see you through it. See, you're not involved in one thing today that God's called you to do that he doesn't have ample supply of knowledge and wisdom and discernment. You may be thinking, man, I'm trying to parent my kids. What do I do? I've got some hard choices. Do I raise them like this? Do I make this decision? Do I say that? Do I go there? I mean, how do I do that? And you may be even feeling a little bit inadequate in many ways. Listen, if God calls you to be a parent, he will supply the power and the direction and the knowledge and the wisdom you need to parent those kids. And if God has called you to start your own business, then he's going to give you the wisdom and the insight and the direction that you need to take on that job. You've moved into a new company. God's going to give you the wisdom and discernment that you need to do the job that he's called you to do in that corporation. Whatever God has called you to, he will see you through. I remember one of my first times that I really thought about this verse, Philippians 4:13, a pretty famous Bible verse, by the way. But the first time I really began to think about it, I was playing varsity football for a Christian high school, and we had sweatbands, and it said Philippians 4:13. And I looked at that, and I thought, we're going to win the state championship. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I was like, I'm going to wipe some of that on my forehead, you know? Woo! And I'm going to wipe some of that on my legs, you know? Philippians 4:13. I'll never forget the very first varsity football game that we had with our Philippians 4:13 wristbands on. We lost 73-0. I mean, you got to work at it to get beat that much. The opposing team had almost 600 yards rushing, for all you football fans. I mean, that is amazing, isn't it? And I remember after the game looking down at my Philippians 4:13 sweatband thinking, God, what just happened, you know? Whoa. I didn't really understand the whole context of what's going on with Philippians 4:13. The fact that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength is the idea that whatever God calls us to do, whatever God wants us to be involved in, he's going to give us the strength and the power to do that. And so we can have confidence, and we cannot live in fear and uncertainty because the power and the strength of God is going to get us through whatever he calls us to do. Isn't that good news? That gets me excited a little bit when I think about that. So whether it's parenting or in business or whatever you're involved in, man, know this, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, or you can do everything God asks you to do with the help of Christ who gives you the strength and the power. And notice it says, I can do all things, not some things, not a few things. I can do some things through Christ, or I can do a few things. No, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. We can be content in any situation because the power and the greatness of God is with us, filling up our container. Now, how does that work a little bit? I have a couple of verses that I love to think about in the context of this. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. Man, you want the power of God in your life? Admit you're weak. That seems kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it? You know, we live in a culture that always says, flex your muscles. Talk about how strong and how great you are. The Scriptures tells us the opposite. It's in our weakness that the power of God is activated in our lives. So if you really want to become strong, you become weak. You become weak in your own mind and your own perspective, and you become strong in the power of God. Weakness is a strength. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength because you are weak and we need God. And then in 2 Peter 1:3, the Scripture tells us that we need to know God. His divine power has given us everything, not some things, everything we need for life and for godliness through the knowledge of Him. So you're trying to face a situation, you don't know what to do? Focus on knowing God, and when you know God, God's going to show you how to proceed. Notice it says there, through the knowledge of Him. When we begin to know God, He begins to show us and to teach us and to direct us into how we can live a godly life and how we can take care of the normal circumstances and situations that are there before us. See, if we would begin to fill our container with thoughts centered around our weakness, not our strength, and knowing God rather than all of the material gain, God would begin to rock our world. I really believe that. The secret of contentment is getting connected to the power of God. It's not more stuff. So what we need is not bigger containers or more containers. What we need is to learn to say, in whatever circumstances, I have learned to be content. Let's just bow for a word of prayer for just a moment and just say, God, we come before you today and we realize that we have tremendous need. Our need is, God, to hear from you. And God, I pray that every person in this room would feel your strength and your power and your direction. I pray for every person that's afraid, every person that's discouraged, that God, you would teach them and show them the power and the strength of Jesus Christ. The Bible says it even surpasses all understanding. And God, for that reason, we give you thanks and praise today. While our heads are still bowed, our eyes are still closed for a minute, maybe you've never begun a spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. You've never really experienced the power of God. You've never had Him come into your life, and this morning you'd like to do that. You'd like to begin a relationship with Christ. The Bible says that He died on a cross and He rose from the grave, and the reason He did that is so that our sins could be forgiven. Would you reach out to Him today and just invite Him to come into your life? You can just pray with me. Just say, Lord, I know that I have sinned. Lord, I know that I have sinned, and I pray you'd forgive my sins. Lord, I pray you'd forgive my sins and that you would make me a brand new person. God, that you'd make me a brand new person. I'm putting my faith in Christ and what He did at the cross and the resurrection so that I could experience new life in Him. And we pray this all in the wonderful name of our Savior and Lord. Amen.